Hello everyone, Lord Baldrith here with Echoes from the Caverns, newscast dated July 24th, 2015. Echoes from the Caverns is distributed by Style Tekel and is a joint podcast project created and ran by Lord Baldrith and Asclepius. Background music by Stephen J. Goldman. Well, how's it going this week, Asclepius?
I'm going pretty well, thanks, Lord Baldrith. It's wonderful to be at a weekend again. And, hey, nice to get the chance to get back into New Britannia. It's fantastic. And how's life with you?
Very good. I'm glad it's Friday, always. And I'm also happy to live in New Britannia outside of my work life. So it is a good place to visit and a good place to live.
Oh, that's for sure. And they keep on putting more into it and keep on giving us little tastes of what's to come. So there's a lot to look forward to.
Yeah, and looking up the number raised, we're getting kind of close to 7 million, aren't we?
We absolutely are, yeah. I think ever since the store credit idea was announced, that's given it a real kickoff, and that's fantastic.
Definitely, that 10% bonus is really awesome. And plus, they've thrown in the other incentive of do it before this date, or you can't have all your house upgrade, you know, your house is coming up with your pledges and all that stuff. That's really important.
Well, that's right, yes. It really, I suppose it's like a carrot and stick approach, isn't it?
Oh, yes. And it works great because I just needed just a little bit of motivation.
That's right, yes, yes. And I think a lot of people have been teetering on the fence and thinking, yeah, will I, won't I? And then, as you say, with a little bit of encouragement, a little bit of prodding, a lot of people are jumping the fence, and that's great for the game.
Oh, it is. It's something they need. If they can have a little more money, they can, you know, hire more people and get more stuff going. So it's good stuff.
That's right. And more development for the game, more goodies, more content, and more excitement for us.
Oh, yeah. The more features they put in the game, the funner it's going to be. So, yeah, I'm never against adding more.
That's absolutely right. So, hey, I wish them every success, and it'll be lovely when that magic number clicks over to 7 million.
Yeah, I think that would be really awesome if they could do that before the end of the year. That'd be really cool.
That would be very nice. And, hey, you never know, they might even have a special event and give away a hat.
Yeah, they could always create, you know, another kind of hat or some kind of piece of clothing or something. That'd be cool.
That's right. Yeah, that'd be great. Oh, well. Well, sir, I suppose we could get on with the news. We have the update of the avatar number 135. Lots of good things in the news this week. We've got the obsidian architecture. Dazzlus Underground, Trolls, Tantalus Consortium, Player Owned Town Editor, Game Fest, and Plant Decos, and more. So, a very good news week. Now, firstly, they're talking about architecture of the obsidians. And honestly, this looks pretty impressive and pretty, well, scary in a way. But honestly, the screenshots they've got here just look lovely.
Yeah, it's a very neat-looking new area. I was always kind of curious what's going to be taking place in these rooms.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And it's a continuation of a Dev Plus forum post by Scotty Jones. He says, "Oh, you know, I'm glad you're enjoying this work in progress." He's actually beginning the layout of the areas that he's responsible for building. And Lord Takis asked about level design choices in general. He'll be addressing some of that as he shows some of the area layouts. And he wanted to make some magical lighting used by the Obsidian Lords. So the lore is that 200 years ago, the Obsidian Order people saw themselves as the preeminent sorcerers. And they forged their empire based on magic. And they derived their power from the energies flowing out of the obsidian shards that fell from the shattered moon. lacing the world with veins of lava that seem to conduct the energy from the shardfall areas to a variety of locations, including Fate's Lake in the subterranean chambers below the ruins of Desolus. Wow. And it was that lake that inspired the Obsidians to build their seat of power there, including the Chamber of Souls, seen in the images above and below. Nice pictures.
Ooh, sounded pretty dangerous down there. They got lava and everything flowing.
Yeah. And we can harvest various crystals in the world for use in sorcery and alchemy. Though they haven't developed it very much yet, but I'm hoping that's coming.
There's a lot of crystal stuff you get off of those crystal nodes, and I was wondering what they were going to do with them.
Yes, so was I. So maybe they will be usable on the alchemy table to craft into various spells, reagents, potions, what have you. That'd be good.
Or maybe that's where enchanting's going to come in, through crystals.
Okay, it could be. Yeah, that's right. Because remember I said I was a bit ticked off. I went right down to the bottom of the fourth level of the Exeter Mines and bashed my way past the elementals. And I was harvesting crystals, and that's all there was.
It seemed like a bunch of worthless trash. All I could do is
sell,
right? Yeah,
almost. That's right. But look, ultimately, when the final game is released, it might not be worthless trash. It might be really useful for something.
Well, you would think, based on where they've got that stuff, you know, to harvest, it's going to be hard to get, so it's got to be somewhat valuable.
Yeah, that's right. So, look, it probably fits into the long-term plan, so that's good.
Yeah, that's exciting, though, to know more is coming.
Oh, it is. It's exciting to see the plot and the whole picture gradually being revealed.
Yeah, I really like those blue lights and stuff. I hope we can get those, too.
Oh, doesn't that look great? And as he says, it makes sense that the Obsidians would have used such crystals to craft undying sources of light.
So that would be perfect, you know, for our stone basement.
Light source that never runs out, is magical. And we've got three light sources here. Love the chandelier.
Yes, oh, the chandelier would be so lovely.
Fantastic. So we've got yellow light, we've got the bluish light. Ah, amazing. Fantastic.
Yeah, there's lots of colors of crystals. I wonder if they're going to make them all be, you know, different light colors.
Yeah, they could be. So there we are. This is all of these styles employ glimmering, floating crystal shards in a variety of colors. Now, currently, they're not meant to represent anything specific. And just used for beauty. Okay. And the earlier images are a little bit overlit to allow them to be clearly seen. Oh, maybe they're going to be a little bit more dark and gloomy in the real game.
Oh, cool.
Nice. Okay. And in addition to the light sources, he's got a few more elements, including the angled stone supports with the Obsidian Order symbol at the top. Wow. The simple banister design and the huge carved stone wall panels inscribed with the names of all the individuals responsible for the rise and domination of the Obsidian Order as described in the Blade of the Avatar. Whew. That is going to be awesome, and it'll be a wonderful place to explore.
Yeah, I wonder if any of those panels are secret panels.
Yeah. And I'm wondering if there'll be anything evil down there that we'll have to battle to explore it.
I would venture to guess that's not going to be an empty room.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. I mean, okay, even if the Obsidians themselves are gone, I mean, there might be ghosts, there might be skeletons, there might be spectres.
Yeah, there's a lot of magic there, so.
There is a lot of magic there, so yes. Who knows what we're going to find. But, oh wow, those passageways still, they do look great.
Yeah, good job. Plus, that dungeon, it does look a lot different than the other ones, so that's a nice thing, too.
It is. It really is. And moving outside the keep, still in the cavernous underground, you can see the edges of Fate's Lake as it drains deeper into the earth, and the main gates of the entrance into the keep itself, which is built into the walls of the cavern. Yeah, now that scene's a little bit darker, so probably have to carry a torch down there.
Yep, light spell.
Yep, that's right. Nice. So, look, there's going to be so much exploration we can do. I think we're going to be kept busy for quite a long time exploring this new land.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to going down here. This looks really cool to me.
Oh, it absolutely is. And here we are. Below is a close-up of the gates of the Obsidian Keep. Yes, you can see those uniquely shaped gates open to reveal the interior hall. And to the right is a fenced-off region separating the main entrance from a smaller side passage, where unfortunate slaves and captives were once driven into the terrible laboratories of the Reshapers. Here, using the power of the obsidian shards, dark magic and alchemy were employed to twist these unfortunates into terrible mutated monstrosities. Wow.
Wow. Is that a new creature type, you think, or just some of the stuff that we've already been fighting?
I think it might be some of the stuff that we've already been fighting. I'm not sure about that.
I know the elves are supposedly mutated, but I wonder if they're going to have, like, some nasty, misshapen creature, you know, a headless or something, you know?
Yes. Yeah, weren't the headless fun in Ultima?
They were, yes.
Yeah. I mean, it sort of makes them harder to fight, doesn't it? Because you can't chop off their heads, they don't have any.
Yeah, they've pretty much already taken a lot of abuse in their fighting in the past, so they're pretty hard to kill.
That's right, yeah. They had some fun monsters in all the Ultima series. That was great.
Yeah, those monsters were unique to any game, too. That's the cool thing about it. They're just like Ultima, you know, creatures. It belongs to Ultima.
Well, that's right, yeah. Okay. And then, look, another picture. This is the progress so far on the scene layout. Very nice.
Looks like it's pretty good size, too, doesn't it?
It certainly does, yes. Wow. And you said it looks like a bit of a mess, but honestly, I think it's taking shape really well.
I don't see a mess. It's beautiful.
No, even as a work in progress, you can see it taking shape. Wow, that is just nice. They're pouring so much work and effort into this. And he signs off and says, thanks, that's all for now. I'll share more as I have the chance. That's just a brilliant work in progress. I'm really looking forward to seeing that as soon as it comes online.
Yeah, real good job on that, Scotty. That's just some amazing work there.
Yeah. And next we have something really scary. We've got the very large creatures. Trolls are coming.
Look at those trolls. Aren't they awesome?
Oh, boy. Yes, so in their recent updates, they introduced us to some of Jeff Mellon's initial work in progress on trolls. The first very large creature. That implies that there will be more.
Yeah, you know, I've heard talk of dragons. Those will probably be considered very large, won't they?
Well, yes, they will. That's right. Yes. Yeah, and look, if they do dragons true to form, they're going to be pretty serious to fight as well.
Yeah, they might even be tougher than a troll.
Yeah, I reckon. Boy. Okay, so yes, they're making the combat experience quite different. For the troll, they're working on equally large area of effect attacks. So all he has to do is bash the ground, and you'll get an earthquake that will really shake you around and rattle your teeth.
Yeah, that'll make those earth elementals look like nothing, won't it?
That's right. And even if you stand back, he'll throw a boulder at you.
Yeah, that probably wouldn't feel too good either, would it? Getting hit in the head with a boulder.
No, that's right. Okay, I can see the market for helmets going up.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But yeah, look at those pictures out of the QA game. That looks really, really scary.
Yeah, I can't see the health bar. Just wondering if he's, you know, surviving okay.
Yes, I think it's probably safe to say the troll is at least twice as big as the avatar there.
Yeah, twice or three. He's big.
Yeah, and he looks a little bit upset.
Yeah, it looks like he screams at you while he's fighting you.
That's right. Oh, the expression on his face, that's really scary, too.
Oh, yeah. The minute I see one of those things, I'm going to be really going to want to run, probably.
Yeah. And in that last picture, he looks as if he's lining up for a punch to the face. And I don't know how you'd survive that either.
Yeah, they're going to give us the ability to dodge these attacks, or we just kind of have to get hit.
Well, I hope so. Although, if you double tap on the A or D key, you'll roll sideways. I might be doing that a lot.
I'm going to have to learn how to do that. That sounds like a good idea.
Yes. Yeah, I haven't really mastered that yet. I've done it a few times accidentally. And I thought, hey, that was cool. I must remember that.
Yeah, you ran into that accidentally. That's good.
Yeah. But yeah, double tapping gives you a roll. And yes, I think we're going to be doing that a lot with the trolls.
Now, can you roll backwards, sideways,
yes,
and everything with that?
Yes, okay. I believe you can. So the W or the S, if you double tap on those, you can roll forwards or backwards. And yeah, I reckon that will be one of the first and best weapons in dealing with a troll. Basically, staying out of his way.
Yeah, I would just kind of guess that one big hit from him would probably kill you.
Yeah, I reckon. Because he looks one tough creature. And he looks as if he's got a fairly bad temperament.
Yeah, I can't think of any of my characters that would stand a chance against that.
Nope. Oh well, it'll be fun to find out.
Yep.
And, look, the only encouraging thing is, as has happened in the game, as has happened in pretty much all of the Ultima games, there's more than one way to skin a cat. And if you can't beat him, just run past him.
Yeah, I was wondering if kiting would be possible with a creature like that, but you'd think it might be rough if he's got all these distance attacks.
Yeah, that's right. Although, the other possibility is if you see him throw a boulder, then just roll sideways and it might miss you.
Yeah, as long as it's not a heat-seeking boulder or something, huh? You know, some games they'll cast a spell or something and it'll follow you all around everything.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, that I'd have to see. Yes, a boulder sort of curving around in midair.
I'd say that makes it impossible.
Yeah, yes. But it will be so interesting. Because really there's going to have to be a lot of physics and game logic going into that throwing boulder maneuver.
Yeah, and is he going to have to pick it up off the ground, or has he got a bag full of them, or what's the deal with that?
Okay, yes. Good question.
I mean, what if there's no boulders for him to have? Does that help?
Yeah, he's probably got 150 of them in his backpack.
Yeah, he probably does, doesn't he?
Yeah. Which is why he's unhappy, because he's carrying this heavy load around and somebody told him he had to carry it around.
And now he wants to throw it at somebody to get it off his back.
Yeah, that's right, yes. See, we can make up good lore for the game.
Sure we can. I don't know if anybody would like it, but yeah, we could make it up.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. They are going to be scary opponents, but I am looking forward to facing them. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I really like the bear outfit that he's made. I was wondering if that was going to be one of the options.
Yeah, wow, that'll be great. Right.
Actually, you know what? He is wearing that bear outfit. You see the bear head on his back? That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Nifty, eh? Yes, he is.
I think that's awesome.
Wow, very nice. Okay, well, we are in for challenges.
Yeah, it's not going to be easy now at all.
No, no, the challenges get more and more difficult. But it's going to be more and more fun and more satisfying when you beat them.
That's right. That's all the more reason to go out and practice and raise your character up and get stronger. And maybe you can survive.
And maybe you can just bring half a dozen friends.
That too. Well, that'd be the easy way for sure.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. And then we have the Tantalus Consortium. This looks like a nifty idea.
Yeah, I'm part of that. It's pretty cool.
Oh, excellent. Good on you.
I mean, my town is. I mean, our town is, you know.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So, just trying to run through it quickly. They've had shout-outs in recent updates of events and contributions by the consortium. And it's founded and led by community member Lord Blake Blackstone, who looks like he's done an awful lot of work to benefit the game.
He's very organized, yes.
Magic. It's a player-owned town organization with the mission of strategically working together for the benefit of all town owners. We seek to solidify a common goal of growing and prospering the community as a whole. Fantastic. So, the consortium is seeking town owners to work in cooperation with each other through the transfer of goods and services throughout New Britannia. By strategically working together for the benefit of all town owners, we seek to solidify a common goal of growing and prospering the community as a whole. And many nations led by different noblemen fall under this crest. Being part of this consortium does not affect your sovereignty or loyalties that you've diligently formed throughout the realm. It's an outlet of trade, commerce, protection, and most importantly, peace. So many rulers have their plans on how to rule over their provinces, and so they should create laws and judicial proceedings as they see fit. Just as with any ruling council, opinions differ greatly, but it's our best interest to help steer the direction of the realm by handshakes and not unsheathed swords. Bloodshed is a final resort in a disagreement that cannot come to amicable terms. That's very nice.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah. And we've got member benefits. That's very nice. Including co-hosting and attending coordinated events, embassies and storage scattered for use throughout the realm, a contact list of gatherers and craftsmen willing to fulfill orders outside of the tax system, free or discounted commercial or residential locations, optional roleplay opportunities, opportunity to help receive help managing a player in town, help each other to recruit new guild members, help each other to find new citizens. It immediately gives you a new identity, becoming part of a fraternity, a high level of trust between members, very good. And non-members are aware of the spirit of friendship that exists between members of the consortium. The question is sometimes asked, out of curiosity, whether Tantalus members are required to patronise other Tantalonians in their business transactions. Every Tantalonian knows there's no such rule. But we must recognise that when one is considering entering into a business or professional relationship, he's more likely to select someone that he knows and trusts. So that's it. You don't have to restrict your trade, your dealings with fellow members, but there are people you know and trust, well, you're probably more likely to.
Very cool.
Yeah. And they have principles that look pretty good. They provide principles that can be core to all towns without adding any more rules. It'll be the structure's flexible rather than rigid. They encourage differentiation, different styles of play. Open player-owned towns. Towns are not intended to be gated communities. Some level of gating would be accepted, as long as it can be demonstrated that most of the towns owned by one faction are open. PvP towns are allowed to join, even though they discourage some PvE players, but they're not intended to be the most frequent style of town. A high standard of liberty. Here we are. They encourage low burdens on the players as a principle, but it isn't a rule. Individual towns can set their own rules. They aim to minimise additional overhead on town leaders and burdens on citizens. So where Tantalus creates an additional overhead upon a town, the aim for that overhead is to be a net benefit overall. There is no tax due to Tantalus. That's a good thing.
It is.
Yep. They allow player and town owners to set their own tax rates. That's not a Tantalus level issue. And the emphasis is on shared gameplay and player-run activities. So cross-town and cross-guild interaction is encouraged. This is sounding better and better.
It is. It's a really good layout.
Yeah. It encourages political neutrality. Intra-Tantalus, the political links should be neutral or positive. If things go bad, if relations sour between two parties, then reasonable efforts should be made to resolve the problems. Now, extra-Tantalus relations need not to be neutral. Naturally, player and town leaders should be mindful of feuds that could impact others within the consortium. New allies or enemies of one member don't necessarily become allies of all members. Strong links with other towns are encouraged, like embassies and trade routes. Honestly, that sounds like a very, very good initiative.
Yeah, for sure. It's a way to get your town, you know, more trade taking place in there, so that's good.
Absolutely it is. And look, without going through them all, this is the Tantalus Consortium, for the people and by the people. And we have 5 metropolises, 3 towns, 6 crossroad villages, 2 villages, 6 holdfasts, and 3 hamlets, including Wizard's Rest.
But we're no longer a hamlet.
That is correct. We are now a town, are we not?
We're a village.
We're a village, sorry, a village. Excellent. Brilliant. So that is awesome. So that's a pretty impressive list of potential friends, allies, partners, colleagues, associates to help trade, cooperation, exploration, you name it.
Yeah, I wonder if they're making it available for every town to join this, or if there's a limited number.
Okay, good question. From the tenor of the post, I'm guessing it would be the more the merrier. So that'd be brilliant. And the current consortium size is over 1 million square meters and 28 player-owned towns. So that's fantastic.
That's a good quantity. Good job.
It sure is. So, yeah, definitely something worth thinking about and getting into. Wonderful. And here we have something pretty exciting. We have the player-owned town editor video.
Oh, it's an awesome video. Did you watch that one?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I mean, that just looked so easy. And honestly, it's almost worth becoming an owner of a player-owned town myself, just to have so much fun putting it down.
Yeah, you can totally design your town. That is quite fun.
It looks great. And, you know, I can imagine it's going to take a lot of workload off the devs. Can you imagine them trying to churn out 230 player-owned towns?
Well, just imagine if they had to literally sit down with everybody, each player owned town owner, and say, okay, so where do your lots got to go? And then you'd have to like go through 14,000 different revisions because it wasn't quite right. So this way they kind of pass it off to the town owners and just change it on the fly. It's awesome.
That's right. Yeah, and part of this might have come about because, as we've sort of hinted to a few weeks ago, they were thinking they might sell about 20 or so towns. and now they've got 230, and they're sort of saying, oh my God, what have we done?
Yeah, I don't think they expected that to happen.
No, I'm sure they didn't expect anything like the demand. And yeah, exactly as you say, they probably thought, how the hell are we going to manage this? Because, you know, here we've got 230 towns to customize and lay out. Why don't we design a tool so that the owner can do it themselves? And that way the owner's happy, the people in the town are happy, we're happy, because we don't have to do it all, and everybody wins, and that's great.
Yeah, and it's nothing but awesome, because on the fly, even after launch, I'll bet you can say, oh, I want to move my lot over here, or, you know, add a lot or change the size of a lot. You should have totally full control. It'll be so awesome.
It will be so awesome. And exactly as you say, if somebody in your town decides to upgrade their pledge and they say, well, can I have a city lot now instead of a town lot? I say, yeah, no worries. Just increase your size. That's fine.
Yeah, just pick up a village lot or two and then upgrade it, you know?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
As long as you've got that, space in your town.
Well, yeah, that helps. Yes.
Yeah.
And you might have to rearrange the layout a bit. And yes, as you say, you just pick up a village lot, move the other sideways, and expand this lot to a city size, and Bob's your uncle.
Yeah, the only thing they'll have to worry about is moving all their stuff into the new house.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. So, look, it's an absolutely brilliant idea. It looks so easy, and it should make the rollout of player-owned towns a lot faster and a lot easier. And then the town owner can just go in and say, it'll be like dealing out a deck of cards. Okay, this lot here, this lot there, this lot here, there you go. Come in, guys, have fun.
I was curious, too, if you can kind of lay out your roads and your bridges and your waters, or if that's going to be already preset.
Yes. Yeah, that's a burning question that I haven't seen an answer to, and I hope it happens. That would be lovely if a few basic tools like that were also in the inventory. So you could have a bit of a curving road here and a lake there, and even a bridge over the lake and stuff like that. That would be wonderful.
Oh yeah, and that would add so much unique feel to all the little towns. It would just be so much awesome.
Well, it would, because even if you've got the basic template and the basic biome, I suppose it could look a little the same, like, yeah, my town is just like this other town. Yeah, the lot layout's a bit different, but the street plan is the same. And the terrain is the same. We've got a hill over there, and we've got a waterfall there, and we've got this here. But yeah, we've laid out the houses a bit differently, but everything else is pretty much the same. So if they could build those features in to allow for slightly different geography and different layout and different features, different roads, that would be wonderful. Then I guarantee every town would be different.
Plus, you'd want to visit every town because you want to see all the different ideas. It'd just be really awesome.
Well, you would. That's right, yeah. And it would be so much fun and so much more interesting, as you say, to visit them all, have a look, and even get ideas. And say, hey, isn't that cool? I never thought of doing that.
Yeah, then go into your own town and say, okay, well, let's do this with our bridge or whatever and make it really awesome.
Yeah, because there's one thing you can count on with this community. If it's possible to do something, someone will find a way of doing it. There is so much imagination and so much innovation out there. Look at what people are doing with the basic tools that we've got so far.
Yeah, they're making all these items out of books and things like that. It's like, wow, it's just awesome. Stuff you never would have thought of doing.
I know. I mean, look at Dr. Shroud making coffins and chaos symbols and order symbols out of however many hundred books he had stacked up. That was just amazing.
Oh, I was completely blown away. And I've seen, you know, I think Sir Edward or one of those guys was making the really awesome little tables and chairs, just creating them out of you know, pillows and stuff, in-game stuff, making stuff that we don't have in-game because they want them.
Well, that's right. And even right from the early days, the maze builders were making mazes out of basically tables and wardrobes, and that was it.
They were able to make a maze out of the tools they had available to them, and it worked.
That's right. That's right. And now we've got bigger and better tools. They're making bigger and better mazes. And I'm sure the developers are just clutching their heads and think, I never thought they would do that.
And I think a lot of the time the devs are saying, wow, that is so awesome. And then it gives them ideas of, you know, how to improve the game.
Well, that's right. Well, they sat down and designed a gust ball because Bambino and his troops invented the game Gust Ball. So that's right, we'll make you one.
Yeah, so they added a feature to the game from, you know, somebody's idea. That's amazing.
It is, it is. It just shows what a wonderful, imaginative, talented community we have.
Yes, this is a community of gamers that have been playing games for a long time, so, you know, you're going to see a lot of awesome ideas.
Oh, you sure are. And, hey, it enriches the whole texture and the fabric of the game. It makes it a pleasure to walk around, to explore, to take part in these events, and forget the quest. I mean, I know there's an awesome quest that's coming, but it's just going to be so much fun to live there.
Yeah, because aside from the in-game built things, we're going to have the community built things, which are another avenue to go for having fun.
That's exactly right. And that's going to continue long after the awesome quest is finished. And let's face it, there'll be 5 years of that. So, yeah, I think I'll be still playing this when I'm tottering around in a retirement village.
Yeah, and I hope I will be too. You know, once I'm retired, yeah, I can devote all of my time to this game. That'll be awesome.
Very nice. But you'll have to get somebody to slide food under the door periodically.
Well, that's the problem, yeah. And you'll have to have somebody hit you on the head to go to bed.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, that looks like a really good tool, and I think Player Own Town owners are going to get a lot of benefit and have a lot of fun with that. That'll be great.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that, and I hope we see that coming up soon.
Yes. Yes, devs, are you listening? We want it in R20.
Yes, we do. Just a small hint, it would be so awesome not to have to look for a lot in Release 20. I could just put the town up and everybody's good.
Oh, that would be so nice, yes. Yeah. Don't you love, you know, logging on right at the minute they release it and then running like a maniac to find a lot?
Yeah, if only I had that advantage, but I have to wait like half the day through to get logged on, and by then it's like, oh no, no lots.
Oh, yeah, you do, that's right, yes.
Because my work hours are not good, you know, for the launch times.
No, that absolutely bites. Hey, that is the one good thing about living in this part of the world, because it's 11:30 in the evening when they release for me.
Oh, so perfect, so you're awake.
So I stay up a bit later and wander
off. You can go find the first lot in Owl's Head or something and be in good shape.
That's right. Well, I like my little waterside lot from a boat. And there aren't many in the game. There are a few in Ardorus. And anybody who's listening who wants a waterfront lot, please plug your ears, because I promise you there won't be any lots there.
You're going to make sure of that, aren't you?
Absolutely.
You got your guards on call?
Yep. Yeah, I'll try to slaughter anybody who makes for those ports and the waterfront lots.
Yeah, make sure you have those things all locked up. That's good.
That's right. I only want one. That's all I want. If I get one, I'll be happy.
Yeah, then once you have your one, then they're open again.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Look, I'm not selfish. I just want what I want.
That's right. You want to use the lot you want to use. I know that's how it feels. It's for sure.
Oh, exactly.
I don't want to put my roll lot on a city lot. Come on.
But, as you say, once the player and towns come on board, everybody will be able to put their house exactly where they want, on the lot that they want. It's all pre-reserved. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, it actually puts me in the mode of Ultima Online when we were, you know, putting our houses down. You've got to try to find a spot where it fits. That's going to be fun. I always like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'll be great. So you are going to have such a good time designing and laying out Wizard's Rest. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I'm really excited. That's why I was hoping for an R20 type of thing. But, yeah, they're still hashing things out. They might just want to try a few towns. So we'll see.
Oh, yes, that's right. But it's going to come along progressively and gradually, and it'll be nice to see it happening.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be fun, you know, to see some other names of towns on the map that are like player created. That'll be pretty cool.
For sure. Okay, now we have the last 3 days of Rise Up Baton Disease Charity Drive. Wow. So there we go, Rise Up Gaming, the company that sponsored the water.org charity drive in May. They had one of their largest marathons of the year last weekend, raising money for the Charlotte and Gwyneth Gray Foundation to fund research into curing Batten disease. The marathon ends on July 27. So there's the link. http://curebatten.org. They have raised over 3,700 of their 1,500 goal. That's incredible.
Awesome.
That is fantastic. So look, every dollar helps. So there's a link that you can go to help donate to this charity drive. Anybody who is able to do that, go for it and contribute to this wonderful, worthy cause. And next item of news, Lord British and Lord Blackthorn, keynote, CGF 2015, Ultima Online Postmortem. They're presenting an Ultima Online Postmortem as the keynote for the Classic Game Fest 2015. That could be really interesting.
Isn't that wild? They're doing a postmortem for Ultima Online. That's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah. These two veterans, that makes them sound old, of the game industry, will be reflecting on the challenges they faced from early UO development to maintaining the game well after its launch. Nice. I love the way they put this. Come and learn how a combination of insane ambition and idealistic cluelessness can sometimes result in creating something that changes people's lives and the course of an industry. Which it actually did.
Very cool. I was just trying to see where it's at. It looks like it's in Austin. I wish I could go.
Yeah. Oh, wouldn't that be great? Yeah, yes, in Austin, Texas. July 25 to 26, 2015. Yeah, they keep on putting these conferences in America, don't they?
Not just America, but like way out in the middle of nowhere where I can't get to. Yes.
Yeah, that's right. That bites.
It does.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
How about, now, let's cover all the states and all the countries.
Well, that's right. Yeah, have a traveling road show of Game
Fest. That'd be great. Yeah, let's do
yes.
it.
Yes, if you come to Australia, I promise to attend. How's that?
That's right. They'll be on the other side of the continent, but you can still make it, right?
Well, yeah. Yeah, no worries. I can do that. Okay, now in its 8th year, it's become one of the largest retro video game conventions in the country. Wow, okay. Last event, 25,000 square feet of retro gaming awesomeness, attracted over 4,500 attendees from all over Texas and around the world. Wow. Okay,
that's so
there
cool.
You go. There you go. Look, if you're anywhere near, even if you're not near, and you feel like attending something awesome like this, and you're able to attend, go for it. Well, and our next item in the not only but also department from the add-on store. Lord Baldrith, you're in trouble again?
Yeah, I'm noticing this. They keep adding things for my house and stuff. I'm in trouble, yes.
Yes. I think a lot of us are going to be in trouble. But it's going to be awesome. And we're going to have such well-decorated and such pretty-looking lots. Because now we can have bushes. We can
I love it.
A six-pack of azalea bushes. A six-pack of black elder bushes. Nice. Don't they look lovely?
That's cool. Yeah, I like the black elder. That's kind of neat. Looks kind of like a fall kind of bush, you know?
It does. It does. Very nice. So, look, if you haven't got enough greenery around the house with the trees, just visit the add-on store and pick up half a dozen bushes. Too small, too medium, too large. Scatter them around your lot. It's going to look amazing.
Yeah, that's another question I would have with those is, can those go inside as well, or are they limited to outside?
Ooh, yeah. Good question.
Well, they I'm always come, thinking, you know, with full decoration options, you know.
Well, you are. That's right. Yes. Yes, they might come in a pot.
Yeah, that's true. You'd probably have to have a pot, otherwise they'd die, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they would. Yes. I wonder if you have to water them regularly.
That's true. That's another question. Yeah, can they die if you don't water them, or what happens then?
With the level of reality and immersion that Richard Garriott likes building into his games, it wouldn't surprise me in the least.
You know, I would hope that if that could happen, where your plants could die, you'd at least be left with a seed so you could, like, grow it again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, now that'd be good. Yes.
I wouldn't mind that at all. I think that'd be fun.
Yes. Yeah, you come home after a month away and you find a dead plant, but there is a seed on the ground.
And all I got to do is water it and take care of it for a few weeks, and then it'll be a big plant again.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. There's so much potential there.
But I love stuff like that. You don't see it very often either. It's just maybe people don't like it, but I think it's cool.
Yeah, it's great. And I think a lot of people will be taking that up.
I would definitely take up gardening. I'm looking forward to that.
Very nice. Okay. Hey, there's a good offer here too. From Rild, who runs Relics by Rild. Hey, there's nice stuff you can get. Isn't that awesome?
That's really cool stuff. That site's really good. I've went there before and been very tempted to get some stuff. It's good stuff.
Wow. And as I say, if you're thinking of buying any of their cool Shroud of the Avatar merchandise, August is a good time to do it and get standard shipping to anywhere in the USA.
Uh-oh, hey. That means you don't get free shipping?
No. No. No, I'm too far away. But that's okay. Shipping to this part of the world, it does cost a bit, and it also takes forever.
That's for sure. Yeah, it is a long ways away, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I could jump on a plane and get there myself faster.
Yeah, you could, because, man, it takes forever to ship overseas, I know.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, and just a reminder, for the 10% summer bonus and reward expirations, it's 38 days to go, people.
Yeah, running out of time, quickly.
Yes. So yes, if you're thinking of pledging your support, upgrading an existing pledge, or purchasing or upgrading a player-owned town, now is a great time to do it. They're off. They've got a 10% summer pledge and town bonus. It goes till August 31st. Anything you spend in that department, a pledge, player around town, upgrade, whatever, you get a 10% store bonus. Very nice.
I've upgraded the heck out of my accounts. Yes.
Well done, sir. I am proud of you.
Yeah. The bank's happy too.
Yes. I've actually thrown it a bit myself, so that's very worthwhile.
It's a great cause, and it's, you know, a very tempting offer, and it's like, okay.
Absolutely. And the only caveat is it doesn't apply to add-on stretch goal or make a difference store purchases. If you've got an existing store credit that you've had for 6 months or so hanging around, no, I'm sorry, you can't use that either. And just so that people are aware, Alpha and Beta are approaching. Very nice. They're going to be announcing a series of expiration events. And the first one happens on August 31st, so that the Patron Pledge, the Navigator Pledge, and the Developer Pledge will disappear. You will not be able to get those anymore. And for Patron Pledges and above, signed physical goods that poor old Richard Garrett is going to have to wear out his hand signing and get them all shipped out before the game launches, they won't be available anymore. They want to lock those away. Home and basement stacking for Ancestor Pledge and above. For new pledges of that level, won't be available. Secondary lots for Lord Pledge and above. And player-owned towns with overland map access. So be aware. But if you're a backer that already has these rewards, don't worry. You've got them. You get to keep them. So that's all good.
I assume, aside from just housing, that would include like all the pets and the tools and the crafting stations, that stuff you're not going to get like from the lower level pledges after that, right?
Yeah, intuitively, I think you might be right. Because, yeah, if you just sign on to a high level pledge, you don't get all the houses. You may or may not get all the goodies that go with it. You might get the crafting tables, because that doesn't involve land.
Yeah, they don't stack from one tier to another, so that might not be affected. I'm just trying to think of the stuff that carries over. It's like, I know the tools, some of the tools do and the pets do, don't they?
Right. That I'm not sure.
Just one of those things to go through and read the pledges and see which ones actually stack up. You'll see what you're going to be losing out on, just in case you're curious.
That's right, yes. And another note, any payment plans started for these tiers prior to August 31st won't be affected. So even if you can't stump up for it all straight away, if you get onto a payment plan, you're locked in and you will be fine. They just need to know by August the 31st how many people, how many lots, how much does poor old Lord British have to sign. They need to know that by August 31st, because game release is coming.
And plus we want our stuff.
Yeah, that's right, we want our stuff. There's going to be a lot being posted out over the next few months.
I'm looking forward to hanging up some of my stuff on the wall. There's going to be some really cool stuff we're getting in from our pledge rewards.
Oh, yeah, that'll be really nice. Yes. Hey, I'm looking forward to having a permanent wall to hang it up on.
Yeah, that too, huh?
Yeah, that's right. Enough of these wipes. Thanks very much.
Yeah, that'd be great, you know, when you could actually leave your house decorated forever. That'd be great.
That'd be very nice. Yes. Much more worthwhile. And I think people are going to go to a lot more effort because they know it's permanent.
Oh, sure. They're going to be crafting beautiful furniture for each room. It's going to be really cool to see.
Yes. And also, there's an important message here. If you want to split or merge any of your pledges, you have until August the 17th. Because, again, the Alpha and Beta are looming, game release is looming. They need to have it straight as to who is in what category and what rewards to give everybody. It has to be locked down.
Plus, there's a lot of work for those guys when they got to do that and mess with your account all the time. That's a lot of work for customer service.
That is for sure. And I think it's sort of akin to their development cycle, as Star has been talking about in his video interviews. They run on a 4-weekly cycle. The first 3 weeks they're throwing content in, And then the Thursday before release is lockdown. And they've actually been pretty good about sticking to it the last couple of releases, which is why the releases have worked better. So a week before release, they say, right, we're not putting in any more content. What we've got, we're going to polish, we're going to make sure it works, and then we release it. And in a way, they're saying the game is coming, it is coming closer, this is lockdown. We need to lock down the number of people in each pledge category, and whatever rewards you've got has to be locked down. After this, we'll process it, we'll get it all out, and the game release is going to be smooth.
Yeah, that's a really good strategy there, where you're not having to say, oh, this didn't make it, and this didn't make it, this, and then instead they can make it. It's good.
Yeah, that's exactly right, yes. So it's good news, because it does indicate that release is coming whenever, but it is coming. The fact that they have to lock down, and the fact that they have to finalize things, and all they're saying loud and clear now is, you want to jump, you want to split your pledge, you want to combine a pledge, you want to do anything, fine. You've got a few more weeks to do it. After that, it's locked.
Yep.
Okay. All right, in-game weekend community events. And there are always many, and that's wonderful. So recurring events that happen all the time. We've got the Gladiator Wars, the Novian Academy. On Fridays at 5 p.m. we've got the Unreliable Travel Guide, wonderful selection of short stories. The Tavern Respite, Mondays at 8 p.m. we've got Happy Hour Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Vengeance Madness, Fridays at 7 p.m. The Daily Breakfast Club, happening three times a day to catch people in different time zones at Wodey's Pub. Phoenix Republic Open Mic Night, Thursdays. And a beach party at Fridays. And a challenge dungeon run on Fridays. Fantastic. And then Saturday, 9 a.m, Pax Slayer Working Hours. 11 a.m, the Church of the Dark Star Saturday Service. 12 o'clock, the BMC Crafting Fair. 2:30, the Avatars Radio Race Challenge. Now that is going to be awesome.
Yeah, that's one we've been waiting for. That'll be great.
Oh, yes. Look, as I said a couple of weeks ago, I had the opportunity for a private preview. And honestly, Woftum has done a brilliant job building that. It's a wipeout obstacle course. Very true. In the Alsed Castle lot. It is going to be an awful lot of fun. So anybody who can get there should absolutely do it. It is going to be huge. It's going to be awesome. It's in the Alsed Castle lot, or just zone to Woftum, at 2:30 p.m. on Saturday. Central time. Okay, and at 6 o'clock there's a Vengeance 1v1 tournament. That's the longest running player versus player tournament in Shroud of the Avatar. They have been doing it. Well, they're probably the masters of it. They know what they're doing. And I venture to suggest they have a lot of fun. Okay, Sunday, Exploring Novia with Royal Sexy, 10 o'clock, Phoenix Republic Town Hall, 3 o'clock, Gust Ball, fantastic. 5 o'clock, Gridiron, BMC Gridiron Feast, and then Gladiators Gridiron, 7 o'clock, Pack Slayer Meeting, 8 o'clock, Fishing with Winfield. Very nice. Now this week in the news, two articles. Worth Playing PC Preview, Shroud of the Avatar, Forsaken Virtues. Good, we're making the news, lovely. And 10 Ton Hammer says, Shroud of the Avatar is the way to build a true MMO. Very nice. Nice to see some good press and good reviews.
Yes, for sure.
Okay, and upcoming events. Well, there we are. We have a couple of attendances at conferences, and all the way through to release 23 in October, yes. And it'll be really interesting to see what happens after that.
Yeah, they'll have to do the fourth quarter at that time, won't they?
Yes, they will.
And we might hear the full story once they do that, huh?
Yeah. Wouldn't it be cool if we were in Alpha by then?
Yeah, I would assume Alpha's coming up within the next couple of releases. It's got to.
I would hope so. Yeah. Okay. And still, they are looking for more staff. They want a world builder, level designer, and a VFX artist. So, still spreading the word. Anybody who has those qualifications, the team could use more help. The game could use more help. So, by all means, if you or anybody you know has the skills, please apply. Because, hey, we'd love to have you help build this awesome game. And finally, recommended games to back, we have Descent Underground. We have Eric Wingman Peterson and team are bringing back 6 Degrees of Freedom combat by blasting the 90s action game favorite to Descent into the 21st century with current generation gaming technology. It's more than just a graphics upgrade. Get ready for multiple types of customizable ships. Prepare for upgradable weapons and sensors with richly detailed tech trees. Brace yourself for destructible voxel maps with new power-ups and mod tools to make your own maps and more. So there we are. If you feel like exploring another game, that looks like a fun one to go to.
Yep. Always a lot of good games out there to play in the meantime.
Absolutely. But I think the premiere and the one to beat them all will be
Shroud of the Avatar. Yeah. That's what I hold my breath for, you know.
Absolutely. Look, I think this game is going to be awesome, and it'll be the one that lasts for many, many years.
Yeah, I've got 10 years slated for this game, and we'll go from there.
Absolutely. For sure. Okay, well, I think that's pretty much the news for the week.
Yeah, lots of great news, for sure.
Oh, I reckon. And I'm looking forward to getting back into it. Trying to do a little bit more before the dreadful wipe that's coming on Thursday. But, hey, it's going to be good to see the trolls and to see all the combat changes, armor changes, recipes will change. I think a lot of things are going to change for this release.
Yeah, the combat's going to change. I'm excited to see what they're doing. It's going to be cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And as they say, it appears so much is changing that they're going to have to do a full wipe. It's just not possible to graft it on, because if you make a copper sword, for instance, it'll be obvious that it's copper. It'll look different. It'll have the sheen and the colour of the metal in it. And that probably applies to white iron, meteoric iron, everything. You'll see people walking around in plate, and you can tell what they made it from. That'll be cool.
It's going to be neat to see other kinds of armour in the game. Everybody will look a little different with that. That'll be great.
That is right. And now those differences might even extend to leather and cloth. Who knows? Whether you add a bit of fustian cloth or cotton, hardened leather, supple leather, it might all start to look different. And it just will flesh it out and make it more interesting.
Yeah, and plus, once they expand the dyeing system, then we can really start adding some stuff to all of our looks. That'll really be cool.
Oh, yes. Oh, for a minute, I thought you were meaning death. But yes, I get it. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, that too. You got blood all over your outfit, yes. Maybe.
Yes, it'll be interesting to be able to dye more and more things, different colours. And look, people are going to be wearing all sorts of things in-game. It'll be great.
Yeah, I think eventually we're just going to have a lot of different kind of outfits to wear and a lot of different variations of each outfit. That's going to really help with people looking different, not to mention all the character customization that's going to come in eventually, too.
That's for sure. Now, I think I remember, it'll come in eventually, when you log on and create your character, that's not the final thing. You can go to a shop, store, NPC, whatever, and redesign your face and your appearance and stuff in-game if you want to.
Yeah, I'm wondering, are they going to let us do that every day if we want to, or are you going to be limited about, you know, changing your looks?
Oh, that I don't know, yeah. I mean, it's not even in yet, and I don't know when it will be, but that'll be interesting to see. Hey, now, that'd be perfect for a rogue or a thief type person, wouldn't it?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Commit a crime and then just go and change your appearance.
Yeah, then nobody knows who you are, you know, and turn your name off or whatever, then they can't even figure out who you are. That'd be great.
Yeah, that's right. That'd be cool.
I have a feeling that could be something they could do, you know, when they add thievery to the game. They could really add some things like that and make things all the more exciting.
Yes, that's for sure. That'd be fun. Alrighty. Well, I think we're just about done. So, I guess it's a case of everybody hop into the game. Have fun in the dying days of Release 19. Try to avoid the zombies. And try to toughen up for the trolls that are coming.
Yeah, say goodbye to three releases worth of collecting and saving and building. That's the only sad thing about it, you know. It's quite a long time.
It is. And you get quite attached to the stuff that you've built up and the stuff that you've made. You think, oh, well, look, it's all going. But it's worth it, I guess, for the sake of the game.
I always get sad because I wish I could keep my stash of ingredients because it's really handy for messing around with crafting. And then you got to start all over again. It's like, oh, man.
Yeah, I know. You just get to the point where you're really good at going out and slaying hundreds of animals and harvesting buckets of things. And you've got a nice stockpile. And then somebody turns around and says, start again.
And then you're level 5 on your adventuring, you're level 1 on your crafting, you can't harvest anything, and it's like, oh yeah, it's an uphill battle.
Yeah, it is. The only good thing is you got the double experience modifier. That at least helps you get there a bit faster.
Oh yeah, that helps quite a bit, actually. It's just a drudgery at first, because literally I can't survive until level 10 or higher. I really have a hard time.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you just have to stay pretty close to home for the first few hours and play with the little skeletons and wolves and things in South Railway or something like that.
That's kind of what I kind of stick to, the 200 or less experience stuff, even though it takes a little longer to raise, but at least you can survive.
Well, that's right, yes. It's discouraging when even the tame little spiders can kill you, but you get past that eventually.
Yeah, those little teensy spiders, those things hurt. Then, man, you sit there being poisoned the whole time. Ow.
Yes, I know. It's tough. But it's so satisfying when you can take on 2 or 3 big red spiders at once. Ah, that's awesome.
Oh, I love getting my revenge on those things. They hurt.
Yes, that's right. Yes. You say, die, you monsters.
It's, go ahead and web me. I'm still going to kill you. So there.
That's right. Yep. Okay. All right. Well, I think I need to get back into this. It's looking good.
Yeah, we're excited to get back on the game now, aren't we?
We sure are.
Well, I guess I will bring us out then, and we will let you all go back to what you were doing. So, the awesome background music you're hearing for the podcast is by Stephen J. Goldman. The song is entitled Dark Planet. Also, thanks to Sir Style Tickle for the technical work on the newscast. And that reminds me, I didn't mention it in the news, and I should have, is Asleepius got a little award there on the Caverns website, being initiated into the Caverns Guild as an honorary member. So congratulations also on that, Asleepius.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And honestly, I am overwhelmed with gratitude, and I'm just overawed by that. Thank you to Sir Style and to everybody in the Caverns Guild. It is an amazing privilege to be an honorary member, and hey, I'm from the bottom of my heart, thank you everybody.
Yeah, and it's good to have you folks here. Awesome. And
thank you,
also,
sir. No, you guys.
Please support Avatars Radio. The radio always needs your support, so please continue to support Avatars Radio so we can hear programs like this on the radio, podcasts, wonderful music, and even events are broadcast on the radio. So help support that by going to avatarsradio.com and click on the Patreon link. And also thanks to Amber Rain for broadcasting the newscast on avatarsradio.com. This is Lord Baldrith and
Asclepius
with Echoes from the Caverns.